Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Close-minded, bitch niggas, or people without a sense of humor. Please keep in mind that we do not condone violence of any sort. Our sole purpose of this podcast is to have fun. Please enjoy.
I hear you.
Okay.
All right, Manuel.
Well, I'll goddamn be. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to another episode of...
No Need for Apologies.
I'm Monroe Martin.
And I'm Jared Gaines.
And we're back with another episode for y'all.
Stankin' hoe-ass asses. Huh? Yeah.
We got Sean Dominic in the motherfucker. Sean Dominic Martin, because we may be family, so I'm going to throw that Martin part out there.
Oh, yeah, Martin.
I seen your family. Y'all got Sean, like light skin and light eyes and shit.
No, y'all not related.
Shut up. But I'm like, maybe, but nah. Like, I know my family.
Sean Dominic Martin, a.k.a. Sean Dominic, a.k.a. Pretty Motherfucker. I never liked you anyway.
What?
This was the one dude in New York. What? And I was always intimidated. I was like, he gets way more ladies than I do.
He's an actor, daytime actor.
Like, everybody see this dude. He's the greatest. What's up, boy?
I'm trying, man.
You're doing.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
Thank you for doing this, man.
Hey.
Little history about Sean Dominic Martin. We all started at Stand Up New York. He was a bartender. We were open micers. It was me, Che, Derek, Michelle, Wolf, Jeffrey, Becky. Yeah.
I just watched Michelle on Joe Rogan today.
Yeah? I was watching a little bit of her special. It was like boop, 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 boop. It was like joke. And I
it's
got
called
tired.
Joke show, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was like, God damn, I'm tired of watching this shit because there's so many jokes.
Oh, shit.
But it was good. But it was so many jokes.
Michelle Wolf a knife.
God,
she a whole
damn,
knife.
She a fucking
yeah. She a knife.
Beast.
Yeah. She cut.
Bah! Yeah.
Yeah. She's
like, I was like, let up. Like, from she came out and
yeah.
just went.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, here we go. But. Yeah. That's pretty dope that we are all in the same pool.
It's crazy, man, to see you guys' rise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember you guys coming in at Stand Up NY and just trying to get on the check spot.
So, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, just to see you on Tracy's show, on Will and Grace.
Oh, yeah, all that goofy shit.
Monroe, you acting as dude. Tracy's...
I never did Tracy's show.
No, Master of None.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, yo. Yeah, I got to tell you a story about Tracy.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. Tell us the story.
We listening? It's an eccentric motherfucker right there.
Yeah.
So I did a MasterCard commercial. No, I'm sorry. I don't know if it was MasterCard.
What's the one you was in all the cabs? You was like in all the cabs one year.
That was MasterCard, I think.
This nigga was in all the cabs
every
in New York.
Every single cab. Every time I was trying to get laid, I would just see your face.
In the trench coat, smiling as shit. Yeah. I'm like, wait, that's Sean in the cab. Try to take this girl home. She's like, ooh, who him in the commercial? Don't worry about that nigga in the commercial. Go ahead.
So it was for Lyft and something else.
Yeah.
And it had about 6 to 8 of us actors. And they took us each out separately because it was like quiet cat. We didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Yeah.
So they took me and this other guy out together. So they got us into a black SUV.
Yeah.
We're sitting there and there's like 7 cameras in the SUV. And they're telling us, you know, like act like you're looking out the window, act like you know you're chopping it up.
Come on, the mic.
Act like you're looking out the window, act like you're chopping it up, act like you're on the phone.
Yeah.
And then so we're doing all this stuff and then we pull up in the corner and we pull over. Tracy comes with a mic.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, shit. I was like, this is what they're doing.
Yeah.
So he gets in and just starts cracking jokes the whole time.
That's what he does.
Uh-huh.
And then he was like, hey, Mr. Bartender. Hey. I was like, Mr. Bartender. I was like, I met him. I no, yeah. He don't remember me, though. He was like, yeah, man, Mr. Bartender, you know, stand up, New York. He said, yeah, Greenleaf, yo, Greenleaf, yo, doing your thing. I was like, Greenleaf? I was like, you saying it? He was like, and he kept talking like yeah. that. And he was like, I'm going to have you on my show, man. I'm going to have you on my show. Keep yeah. doing your thing. I'm going to have you on my show. I'm yeah. going to have you on my set.
Yeah.
So he gets off, and then I find out Mark Theobald.
Yeah. That's his main guy.
Was there with him. And yeah, they found yeah. out through looking at the actors' names on the yeah. list. They was like, oh, Sean's on this joint.
Yeah.
I never got on the show.
I never got on the show.
You thought this was some magic?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You got to understand, Tracy had a lot of shit, but then when Keenan came in mm-hmm. and flushed out the system,
yeah,
I was talking to Trey. Trey seemed pretty distraught. Yeah. It's not even the same show no more.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. Like, he kind of like dropped his head. I was like, yeah, man, it's not even the same shit no more. Yeah. So I was like, oh, man, that's a sad trade. Like, oh, like Eeyore off the fucking Winnie the Pooh. Like,
But that's still a chance that you
still
can
a chance,
get on
though.
It. Yeah, it's on TBS. I think the show's definitely going to see 5 seasons. Yeah. Yeah.
It probably will see 5 yeah. seasons. So you'll probably be on it at some point. And
see. Who casts?
Cody Becky. Should I be saying the name of the casting directors and all that shit?
Whatever.
Okay, who cares?
Well, shout yeah. out. She gave me a job for 2 seasons.
That's a guy. There's the 2 oh. dudes.
Oh, yeah. Don't, yeah. Yeah, I remember them guys. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I had an audition, and it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. you'll definitely get on it.
Yeah, man, you got yeah. daytime show. You got soap opera chops. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know,
yeah.
Sean is on the Young and the Restless right now.
Right now. Right like now. Some kid is suspended and chilling at home. It has to watch you.
40 plus and up.
40 plus and up.
40 plus and up,
or 8
bro.
And under.
8 and under, yep.
But that's the ones with all the money.
True.
I was one of them 8 and unders just sitting there watching the Young and Restless as the world turns. Passions for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Passions was one of those newer ones, right?
Yeah. It was yeah. like Passions was more about witches and shit, right?
Nah, man. You got to keep yeah. the old Jones. Young and the Restless, as the world turns, yeah. Rising Stein, whatever the fuck. Because
Rising Stein.
I don't know, nigga. The one Mr. Victor's old as shit, but he's still on it.
Victor was on
Cricket,
Young and the Wrestler.
I remember Cricket, Young all that. Yeah, when I was used to have half days from school.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all me and Nell would do. And Nell gets on my goddamn nerves. Everybody knows Nell. That's my aunt. Love my aunt to death. Yeah. But Nell gets on my goddamn nerves. And her yelling at the TV. I'm like, what are you yelling at these people? These white people in this smoky. It was always
you get
smoky.
Caught up, man. You get caught up. Yeah. You like, get caught up because it's such so
the
much.
The baby
drama.
Had cancer.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like a lot of that
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
How's so? What's you've acted on that in Greenleaf and other things, but what's the difference? Because that seems like that's in front of a live audience, right?
No. There's no audience.
Yeah, that's so.
Soap operas, I always thought they was in front of an audience.
That's sitcoms.
No. Sitcoms, yeah. Mm. It moves fast.
Okay.
Yeah. Film every week. Yeah. Greenleaf is like 6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm shooting maybe once or twice a week. Not even once or twice a week, once or twice every so often.
Yeah.
This is like every week. You're getting lines every week.
Every week, so every day.
Constantly learn. Like my first yeah. 8 months,
yeah,
I barely went out.
Because you got to learn the lines.
Yeah. And it yeah. wasn't technically a lot of lines all the time.
Yeah.
It was just like I wanted to make sure I had them bad boys.
Absolutely. Yeah. yeah.
And then I'm starting to find out some of these cast members who've been on 15, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Some of them, not all of them.
Yeah.
Learn lines the day before or the day of. I'm like, I don't know how you do it. Mm-hmm. I'd be scared.
I'd be hanging with pros sometimes.
Yeah.
Emmy winners. They yeah. come in disheveled.
Yeah. yeah.
Fresh off planes.
Yeah.
Sick. At one point. What was her name? Deborah Messing was sick every time I was there.
Yeah.
And she just been, And as soon as James Burrows sat down and went, niggas, with a grace, you get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Like,
they
turn
it on.
On.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. They turn it on.
Yeah.
Damn.
Victor, Eric Braden, who plays Victor, and Mel.
Oh, you got to talk closer.
You got to get on right.
And Mel, who plays Nikki.
Yeah.
To some of the cast members who've been on the longest.
Yeah.
Crack jokes. I'm sitting there dying laughing.
Wow.
And then 5, 4, 3, 2.
Why did you steal my baby?
I'm still like... Chief's still like here. I'm like, hold on. Can we do that over?
Can we set up? Like, yeah, can I get?
I need a second.
Damn,
can we reset?
Yeah, they just turn it on.
Is it intimidating, or they're like, or is it like sports where they're like, yo, either play or get the fuck out, or they're like, nah, take your time.
It would have been intimidating if they weren't welcoming.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know, they're cracking jokes with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Nothing has been intimidating on that.
Dope.
You know, the nature of the beast and how dedicated the fans are.
Yeah.
That's slightly intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, I came on, there was a Nate before me.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You were the first Nate? You were second Nate.
How the fuck did they do that?
Third Nate, I think, because there was a child Nate. Okay. My character, Nate Hastings, is Shamar Moore's, played Malcolm Winters.
That makes sense.
Stepson.
Okay.
And Olivia.
Yeah.
Was Olivia Winters? Okay. Olivia Winters is Nate Hastings' mother.
Okay.
And where was I going with this?
How many Nates
you
there
did,
were?
You did third
so
Nate.
So you did third Nate.
Third Nate.
Like, Neo wasn't
Can
the first Neo in the Matrix.
Can we bring up the Nates from the Young and the Restless while he's talking?
Bring up the Nates.
I want to see all these damn Nates. So is this like a time thing where they're like, now this is the Nate from World 2?
So that young Nate was there years ago when Shamar was on.
Okay.
And then they brought Nate back because he went away. And they brought him back, and he came back first time last year.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't know why he's no longer there, so they cast me as the new Nate. And
well,
so
you don't
a lot of people
not there. You're like, look, it's my spot now.
Person of color, I always hope they get other jobs, you know, because it's a tight industry.
Black actors, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black actor. I you know, I hope it wasn't anything bad.
Yeah.
But what was I saying? We keep going.
You Nate. The third, you the new Nate. So that's all I'm saying.
Nate. You Nate Dawg.
Oh, no. Yo, reading fans' comments when I first came on.
It's probably bad.
Hateful, or they loved you?
Hateful.
Of course it was hateful.
But did they hate you or your character? Or is it a mixture?
Imagine watching your favorite show.
Yeah.
And
look at this. These are all the Nates.
Yeah.
Well, those bottom older Nates, those are like they're different Nates.
I know that other Nate,
the Nate that looked like my homie from Philly. I forgot his name.
I think that is him. Who? I know you're talking about the dude at the bottom.
Yeah,
he looks like a dude that like a comic that used to hang out in Philly. The guy at the bottom with the curly hair. Yeah.
We've all seen him. He's been around.
Yeah,
that dude.
Yeah,
he was in Martin.
Yeah,
he was in the marriage counseling episode. He was gay with Michael Jai White.
Yes, that was him.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yo, and at the end, no, I ain't gay, man. I ain't gay either.
That is him. Yeah.
I remember. I'll forget faces. He was in that. And then he, big dude. He dated, what's the name, one of the ladies from Living Single. He was in that for a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers get their run.
Yeah,
don't think
around.
I don't watch TV. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. But nah, I think you're the best, Nate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, man.
I think you're the best one. The other boy, he kind of looked too much like Shamar Moore. Yeah, they all your predecessors, but nobody really cared. You the Neo now.
So you're a doctor. You're Dr. Nate, correct?
Yeah, Dr. Nate.
Yeah, did you have to learn like medical jargon?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, do you like, are you confident with like medical stuff? Like, could you go
I haven't
to
done
hospital
a lot.
And
I haven't
like,
done
yo.
A lot. I haven't done a lot. No? A lot of my dialogue has been in hotels and bars and
no word, yeah, yeah. What the doctor does when he's not doctoring.
Yeah.
You understand, my mom watched Grey's Anatomy all the time. The only thing I know about doctor dramas, anything with medical dramas, is the back room they fuck in. That's all
God,
I know.
They fuck so much
they
on
fuck
doctor dramas.
So much in that back room in the bunk beds near the syringes and stuff. Yeah. So that's all I know. So you way ahead.
I haven't watched that in a while.
That's all they do. That's all they do on the doctor. They fuck in that back room.
But they know a lot of jargon though. Medical
so
jargon.
Much jargon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But have you ever got like so consumed in a role that you felt like you could actually do it?
You ever Heath Ledger it?
Yeah. Were you like, you know what? I am this shit. Like, because you were a producer on Greenleaf, right? You're supposed to be a music producer, right?
Yeah. What do you mean, like, consume?
Are you a method actor? Yeah.
Like, would a method go too far?
You're just like, fuck that. I can do this.
I'm a doctor.
Give me that scalpel.
And you start working on niggas. Like, you start cutting motherfuckers open, trying to rearrange stuff.
I would say I'm not really a method actor, but there's pieces of it that I take.
Okay.
Because I've taken a lot of different types of classes. All right,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a real method actor. Yeah. Yeah. I'm more in the moment, you know, conversation, life.
Okay.
Experience life.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
that type.
Life imitates imitates life, but all that kind of acting. Yeah. That's the kind of just what I do.
Yeah.
If
I had to do it, I just kind of go, who would have said this like this?
And it's if it's something you never experienced, you just, you know, you do your research and you try to, you know, go all out and just learn a lot. And then hopefully part of you would take that on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's absolutely dope. See that?
Because I would be that actor. Like, I would definitely be that actor who gets so into the role that I think that I could do that shit. Like, if I was ever a pilot, I would walk on a plane and be like, nah, this nigga fucking up. So, what you need to do is you need to, that's my personality, though. So, I know I would get lost in that shit.
Yeah.
That's why I would never do, like, a karate movie, because I would be fucking people up or thinking I could.
Oh, no, I'm doing karate. I'm going to learn hand-to-hand and all that shit. Like, that's one of my biggest dreams, to be some bomb-ass, not comedy kung fu joint, but a bloody one. But I'm one of the dudes that, like, make it to the end. Make it to the end.
I would like to do a boxing joint.
You would do a boxing joint?
Yeah, I would do a boxing joint.
You box?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, boxing
joint. I'm nowhere near anything. But
a boxing drama, that could happen. Everybody, like, Creed had a bunch of motherfuckers. There was two niggas I used to fight in Creed 1. One bull, tall dude. I'll never forget.
Yeah,
he was from, like, Willingboro. He was the dude that boxed. He was in a joint, got his ass knocked out. I was laughing. I was like, you made it all the way to the movies, got knocked out, nigga. Way to do it for South Jersey. But
Wait, which dude? The light-skinned dude?
Light-skinned, tall boy on Creed 1.
The one that beat Creed?
Nah, that was Creed 2. I'm talking about, or was it Creed 2?
Yeah, Creed got his fucked up a lot.
He got fucked up in the first one a lot.
But the dude is a real boxer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like he's...
Yeah.
That's
are you talking about...
The light-skinned dude.
His name is Derek. There's a tall boxer named Derek. I forgot his last name.
I'm thinking about somebody different
then. 6'5", but he's from Willingboro. Uh-huh. And he was known as the boy that used to flip tires down Route 130.
Just no cross training?
No, he was just working out, but on the side of the highway in Jersey. Yeah, and I was like, he was in it. Yeah. But I think he got knocked out.
Damn. Okay.
He probably got paid a lot.
But the light-skinned boy got knocked out by the British boy. That's what I remember on Creed 1.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw like half of it. I haven't seen the full
It was good.
Movie.
Creed 2 was pretty good too.
Okay.
How long you been acting?
Man, I've been pursuing it about 5 years.
5 years.
You're lying.
5 damn years. You hear this shit? You hear this?
You're lying.
That's some prodigy
you're
shit.
You're fucking what? Lying. I met you like 10 years ago.
And he wasn't acting. He was bartending and getting girls.
You weren't acting at the time? Get the fuck out of here.
Let me break it down to you. I modeled for like over a decade.
Okay.
And during modeling, I was taking acting classes.
Okay.
And I would do commercials here. Yeah. And there. That's how I got my SAG card doing commercials.
Yeah.
And then there was a period. It was at stand up. There was a dull period where I was done.
Yeah.
With modeling, but I like it was kind of leaking off. But I was still like auditioning here and there. I really didn't have a strong agent or anything.
Yeah.
And I had like. There was, I had like a cloud over me.
Yeah,
I was just like in this state of like, where am I going?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And being at the, I think I needed to be at the comedy club. I think I needed to see you guys hustle.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'll constantly say this. I'll accept an Oscar and I'll say this. If it wasn't for watching
Monroe Martin
and Derek Gates,
young comics,
yeah,
come in and hustle,
yeah,
and flip that switch in my head, I don't know where I would be.
Right wow.
Now. Damn.
Yeah. I'm dead like serious, too. I know people say shit just to say shit.
Yeah.
But that's
dead say honest. Shit, bro. Yeah.
I think honest. Everybody has that switch in mm-hmm. them, though. Everybody, that thing for me was that Dave and Buster's. Mm. I used to work at Dave and Buster's in the winner's circle selling prizes and shit, selling mm-hmm. like PlayStation 2s for like $150.
Mm-hmm.
And I had... one of my friends, Tiffany, you met Tiffany.
I think I met Tiffany.
Yeah, like looked like Whoopi Goldberg a little bit.
Okay, I know Tiffany.
Yeah. She passed away though. It was sad. Yeah, she had terrible. Cancer. I didn't even fucking know. But we would like sit and talk and all that shit. And she was just like I wasn't really taking it serious. But I was funny. And she just was like, you wasting your fucking time here. She was like, you really want to just be selling prizes and doing this shit for the rest of your life? You dropped out of school. I got a master's and I'm here. So...
do something.
Like, she was like, do something. Because she was like, I don't have anything else to do. I can't think of anything else, but you are funny. At least you got that. And then I just kept going to the comedy club, to the comedy club.
Yeah, yeah. But definitely like, do, bitch.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, like really. Yeah, that joke sucked. I remember that joke. But yeah, she was just like, get the fuck out of here. And I was like, no one in Philly really says shit like that. Everybody's just, the once they see you on their level, they're kind of like, yeah, man, welcome. That shit for the birds. Them niggas weird. Like, they'll make you comfortable with going, those people are weird for pursuing their dreams. Mm-hmm. We're normal.
It takes someone to plant the seed sometimes, man.
Yeah.
I remember when I had just gotten to, when I fully committed to acting, mm-hmm. A girl used to be in class with me, in James' class. She reached out to me. She was like, hey, the lead dropped out of this movie I'm in. Yeah. You want to audition for it? I thought of you.
Yeah.
Because she was another lead.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm down. I'm definitely down. And it filmed in Boston. And the people who were running it, they was like, yeah, we did a Skype interview, kind of audition. And then they called me up to go up there. And because it was like a cop show.
Yeah.
Okay.
To do some training. Like, they was like, he might be at a decent actor, but he ain't gonna be able to hold his gun, right? Came out there, was like, clack, clack.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
You came in there like, blah, blah. You're Army brat, though, right? If I remember.
Military brat, yeah.
Military brat, yeah. Right. Oh, my bad.
As am I.
Yeah.
My mom was Air Force.
My mother and father was Air Force.
Word.
Oh,
word.
Look at y'all. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Air Force.
Yeah. So, I traveled around. Air Force. You traveled around?
I didn't travel. Okay. My sister on my father's side did all the traveling. I went back home with my mom.
Okay.
And my dad kept going.
Yeah, I was born in Spain, and then from there I came to the States. Yeah.
Damn. Good shit. So you could be deported for real, for real.
Because you Spanish.
You Spanish, motherfucker.
When I was early 20s, late teens, early 20s, my mom was scared. Because I wanted to go to Spain. My mom was scared for me to go. Because there have been instances where if you're born in somewhere like Spain, you have to do mandatory military service.
What?
And there's been instances where people have been detained at airports because you technically are a Spanish citizen.
Yeah.
She was like, "Nah, you shouldn't go." She had me shook.
Keep your black ass from Spain right home.
You go to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Why don't you just go to where you live at?
Jackson Heights.
Hey, go to Jackson Heights.
I'm like, I don't understand Spanish. I don't know.
That's crazy. That's wild. Yeah, we all need that spark. Mine was a funny comic named Touray. Came to Philly.
Touray, yeah.
He told me to leave.
Yeah.
You got to get the fuck out of Philly, bro.
Yeah.
Because I was on the same show as him at Times Square Arts Center when it was Times Square Arts Center, the old New York Laugh Factory. And I went up before him and I cooked it. I turned the stage up on him.
Yeah.
So he got up. He was like, "You made me work, little nigga." He was like, "If I don't tell you nothing else, you got to come up here. Philly, you done in Philly." That's what he told me. He was like, "You got to get out of here."
Yeah.
I was like, damn, all right. So, yeah, I left when I was 24.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, we all get it.
Yeah.
He got inspired by me just being on stage, and his boy was like, "You funnier than that nigga." So I was, you know, so it all.
That's how I kept going, though.
Competition,
you get comfortable. Yeah. But then you, like, somebody else goes like, "Nah, you can do better than that."
Yeah.
He was like the all-time favorite in Philly.
Yeah.
That's what he used to call me.
Oh, all time favorite. Everybody loved him. He came in.
I think they were teasing me. I don't really think.
He came in with his shark shirts and his colorful sneakers and his fucking acronyms and shit.
I had a lot of I had a lot of acronyms.
Acronyms. Yeah. I said acronyms.
Philly, Boston, New York, Chicago.
Like which one?
I think they all four best comics come out of there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I'm going to say Detroit too.
From Detroit. It's got to be a hard city.
I've known comics from Detroit come here and actually
cook.
Who's big out of Detroit?
Detroit. What's the name? This nigga's name. I know his name. I know his name.
It's a hard city, so I'd imagine some good comics coming out of there.
Yeah. Any city with real oppression.
Yeah,
it's going to make some good comedy.
While you're thinking, we get to this Chloe thing? I watched the...
He watched
what happened to Chloe?
Remember when Chloe told me she was swinging?
I was like...
Oh,
what?
Chloe a freak.
I was like, what?
Chloe a freak? Why? You want a piece of Chloe?
No. I watched the episode. I was like, what? What? A swinger? I was like, ooh.
I don't know if she's the swinger because you got to be in a relationship to be a swinger.
She was just a free agent.
She was just, you know, just jumping team to team.
She's like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, they was like Chloe would get fucked. Like, Chloe, the way she explained to us, Chloe was basically getting fucked as the couples were going to go fuck somebody else. Like, she was the stop before.
Yeah.
Because she was single.
She was so the warm-up.
She was out. She was like an appetizer. She was like a plate of shrimp. And big old plate of shrimp. Prawns. Chloe big. She was a plate of prawns, and they ate the prawns before they went and had the next entree, which was somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband.
Wow. People get into shit. Like, I didn't know about any of that shit until I moved to New York and until I became Chloe's roommate.
I was like, sex parties.
Like, when they growing up in Philly, sex parties was just like one chick that came over and then everybody tried to hit. I wasn't a part of that, but I knew about it.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know. I was never part of that shit.
It was like shit like that. I think that's gay. To me personally, I think one girl and then a bunch of dudes.
Especially,
I'm like, that's pretty.
Especially when the vagina to dick ratio is not.
Yeah.
If it's 4-1, that's gay.
Especially
if it's 5-1.
Especially the dude who eats them out, like who eats the girl out. It's like, oh, you like putting your mouth on the fountain, huh?
Yeah, that's bad. You need to have.
You had the fountain going.
It's got to be an equal amount of men to women in there if you're going to call it a party. And it's still too much. I can't do it. Nah. Like, I can't be around that. I got a thing with smells. I told you that. I got PTSD with smells.
When I watch
there's
porn,
some animalistic thing about that, man. I'm like, you remember when Pinocchio started turning into a donkey?
Yeah, and it was all of that little fucking, I remember that.
That's what I think of when it comes to stuff like that.
Remember that part when he was turning into a donkey?
And can you bring that up?
Because I don't remember. It was like a land for boys or something like that.
Yeah, it was like a land for kids, and they were like giving them beer and all this stuff, and they were like going through.
They was on a roller coaster.
Living lavishly. You know, they were just giving them everything. And I don't know if it was if it was what they ate and drank that made them turn into donkeys.
Yeah.
But it was something like
that. So what did donkey turn into a donkey symbolize?
You an ass. You fucked up.
Oh.
I was relating it to them turning into animals. That lifestyle, like gangbangs or something?
Gangbangs, gangs.
Where and girls like taking
it's like animal. It's like you go into the primal man.
Yeah,
the base of this primal like. Yeah, fucking.
I don't know.
To me,
bunch of other dudes.
Like, yeah, I'm like.
But
yeah.
To me, that's more of like me and Chloe used to talk about that because I used to be like, "Yo, Chloe, I think gang culture is like homosexual culture.
It's homoerotic."
And I'm like, she's like, "Why?" I'm like, "Cause it's all about the guy. It's all about my homie. I'm gonna watch my homie. If I get some, my homie needs to get some. You care about your homie over the women that are there." And remember that song? It's like, "I ride for my nigga." Remember that, John? The YG song?
Yeah, that's me.
I was like,
"Yeah, it is." But see that?
Look at this shit.
And they all turn to donkeys if they would.
Yeah.
And he like,
And he starts. Hee-haw.
Oh, yeah, I'm an ass like these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And he don't even realize it.
Yeah.
That's
wait.
Crazy.
We can't hear it.
They don't need to hear it.
I think what you were saying, Monroe, is insecurity.
Shit, yeah.
I think it's based in insecurity.
Yeah.
It's based in insecurity. It's based in a culture that you see other people do. So my homie type joint.
That shit nasty.
Shit is gross.
That shit is, and not shitting, because I don't want to, I'm not apologizing, but I'm not saying homosexuality is bad. I'm just saying when it's like gang shit, that's like.
It's homoerotic.
Yeah, it's like.
It's a bunch of dudes rooting on a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Ain't enough girls in here for y'all to call it all the way straight.
And I think it's a lot of followers.
Yeah.
You feel like you ain't, or you'll get ostracized if you don't participate.
Do it. Yeah.
You know, so it's just weird.
Well, I'll get ostracized because I don't like being in a room.
I'll be a nigga outside playing Switch. Mine.
I'm like, all right.
My dick is cool in the room, but all these other, and then there's one thing we all trying to get. That can't be sanitary. Yeah.
I can't even watch orgy porn.
And I
don't know if that's a, like, I can't, like, when I watch porn, like, I can't click on orgy porn. I'm like, just two dudes, one girl, like, I don't need to see that.
That's not an orgy. Yeah. That's they call it a threesome, but everybody knows it's a train. But that's all because we brought up Chloe being a freak. Look, man.
Chloe into that shit.
Chloe gonna be like, Sean.
Chloe into that shit, man.
Look.
All her friends weird. I remember one of Chloe's friends at a house party put her pussy in my face while I was on a date with somebody else. So she didn't pull it out, but she kind of got my face. It was like, eat, like, Panama. Grabbed the back of my head. I got me too.
And was like, beat it,
eat it, nigga, eat it. While I was on a date with somebody else. That was the house party from hell. You know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
I was with Suzanne, the love of my fucking life that I didn't know until the end of that
trip.
Wait,
you saying that right now when you got a prospect?
She was the love of my life at the time.
At the time.
Yeah, and she's not no more. It's fading. She got a whole dude now. I ain't worried about that shit, but you know.
Yo, Derek, have you noticed a change in like how people come up to you from seeing you and all this stuff?
Yep.
Like even like there's a change in even some associates.
Yeah. You know? Everybody trying to be my friend now, bro. Yeah.
But it happens when you start getting a little bit, because that's how this business works. That's how entertainment works.
Yeah.
Is people want to go with they want to be a part of the flow. So they're like, if he's on, if I'm close to him, then eventually lightning will strike twice.
People who called me assholes years ago, hey, man, you want to hop on this shit? The fuck out of here. But I'll do it.
Yeah.
Get the spot. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's changing. It's changing. Yeah. Women are they're a whole lot sweeter than me now.
They're more relaxed and
very relaxed
and letting go a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Very flirtatious. A lot of sex talk from these girls now.
Oh, wow.
I be horny a lot. You just going to tell me that just because it's a conversation? Oh, all right, yeah. Just very nice. Very, very, very this. The finger drags.
Yeah.
That I shake their hand. They hold on to my finger before I let go. Like a lot of, oh, so you're so funny. Like, hold on to that lat.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that.
That's hilarious.
Dudes is like, yeah, man, you should let me open up. I have so many motherfuckers coming to me now. So, yeah, when you do your lounge, I just want to say now, is anybody open for you?
Yeah.
Like, no, nobody ever came with me.
It's interesting. For me, it's interesting because people listen more.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that. When you have more, you have their attention more when you have something.
Even if they got ADD.
Yeah.
They be like,
I'm listening. Yeah. They act like everything is interesting.
Yeah. It's. I find it fascinating, man. I'm just like, I'm watching it. I'm like, I'm still the same old Sean.
That's why you got to have your friends around who don't give a fuck about you.
Those are
the
best friends.
The friends that'll be like, they'll say congratulations, but it's like, yeah, nigga, you're doing what you're supposed to do.
All right,
they don't celebrate it like, they're like, you're working. Keep going.
Get wings.
They see you still got a long way to go, too.
Yeah.
Tight, you know? Yeah. They see the behind the scenes. Yeah.
Everybody. But that happens. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that happened with you, right? That happens with you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, man. I just sit back and I just watch it. I'm like, as soon as they find, you on the show? Oh, you on the show? Oh, yeah. I used to be an actor.
Man. Yeah. I'm like, don't tell me that. I don't want to talk to quitters.
Or when, I'm known for cussing chicks out. Like, I'm known for for if they drunk or they come off any slight wrong. And I go, what is that? Right? What are you doing? Yeah. Everybody knows me for cussing chicks out. But it's funny now because they'll come back up to me. So I hear you're sort of a big deal. No, I'm not. No, there's no need for this. What do you mean I'm sort of big? Because their homegirls will tell them who they got cussed out by.
Yeah.
So they'll soften up and be like, maybe I shouldn't have did that. Do that. Keep
that energy.
Keep that energy.
If you was an asshole before you knew what the fuck I was, keep being an asshole. Yeah.
You know what thing I found out in L.A. as well? I already knew this, but a lot of these girls who have heavy followings on IG, you see them in person.
Oh, they weak. Absolutely. Yeah, they weak.
A lot of them. I'm not saying all of them. A lot.
Weak sauce.
Most of them ain't got game. I want to be courted by one of these chicks, but they got a million followers.
I'm like, you got a million.
And they start talking, and I'll be like, that was the attempt? That's how you shot your shot, miss? Come on.
But he's talking about weak, like just looking weak.
Too. But they makeup is a motherfucker, ain't it?
Yeah.
Makeup and a lot angles. Of time.
Angles.
Angles.
Camera.
Angles, camera, time.
Filters, huh? The little deer ears, hard eyes, pupping tongue, all that shit.
But when did that shit become attractive? When did niggas start be like, ooh, I want that bitch with the deer ears?
She got the sparkles behind her. It makes all the blemishes on her face go away.
Yeah.
The anti-acne filter. That's what they all use. The big goofy eye filter. And they
the soft glow shit.
Soft glow with the ass. Yeah.
I want to call out some stuff, but I'm not going to call it out.
Just don't call no names. You can say what you want. Just don't say no name.
No, I'm just going to say L.A. because I don't want to narrow it down to too much.
L.A. Candyland. Let's talk.
I just see a lot. I'm just like, wow. oh, this person, wow. And then you just go on their Instagram, it's just a bunch of bikini shots or bra underwear. Yeah,
selling sex.
I'm like, you would never look at her twice on the street.
Absolutely. But right now,
interesting.
Social media is the equalizer.
You're selling sex. That's what you said.
Yeah, you're selling sex. It's the easiest thing to sell.
Yeah.
Everybody does it. I watch dudes do it too. Like when they have no content, they just go, well, I'm just get half naked. I'm going to get in shape, get half naked, take a couple of naked pictures.
Yeah. Kendrick Lamar said at the end of No More Parties in L.A., you kind of dumb to have some money. Instagram is the best way to promote some pussy.
Yeah.
He said that at the end of the fucking, I'm like, yeah, scary. Then Kanye came in, scary. Yeah. No More Parties in L.A. Yeah, man. I've met a lot like that.
Yeah.
Shit, I saw one girl that I saw on Instagram. She came to my homie's house. I saw her take her teeth out.
What?
Yep.
Huh?
This girl named Rocky.
Like, how many teeth?
She took out a row.
A row of fucking teeth? Who is this, the senior citizen home?
This girl, some young little fiend from Detroit.
Wow. Yeah.
She had dreams of being a, what was it? An artisanal, like a silent movie porn star. So therefore, it was like silent films, but it was porn. And it was lesbian porn.
Yeah.
So this was a whole thing. And I saw her unprimping one day. Yeah. Bitch took a whole top row out later on. Because I was like, and she was younger than me.
How did she lose her teeth? Did you ask her?
I don't know. Some Detroit shit. I didn't really want to get into
some
it.
Detroit
gross.
Shit. But she I saw her drinking that Flint water.
So therefore, come on, bro.
Wow. That Flint punch.
It's all a facade out there. That's a facade city.
Yeah.
That sell you a dream.
Yeah.
But don't act like New York ain't about that either. New York do the same shit too. New York has the same amount of fakeness.
But
it's just easier to get out of it.
Yeah, because it's a lot easier subways,
and everyone isn't
rats.
About that.
Yeah.
There's more realism surrounded in New York.
Because you've come with, we've been to the same, we've been to parties, like when we started like getting shit, we've been to parties.
I go to party tomorrow.
Yeah, we showing up in our leather jackets, but we know our situation. We know our reality.
Yeah.
And then everybody's just being phony and just looking past you to see who else is coming in.
Yeah, I remember that modeling, man. The VIP tables, man.
Yeah.
That destroyed clubs.
Yeah.
Destroyed clubs, man. VIP
tables. Yeah, absolutely.
Not dance to like popping and stuff, but I used to dance.
Clout.
I used to dance a lot. Man. And then modeling came up here, and you know, a lot of models become promoters.
Yeah.
So you go to their joints, and they got a table, and you sit at the table, and everyone's sitting on the couch or sitting on the back of the couch.
Nobody's having fun. Everybody's fake having fun because there's a camera present.
So I would just leave, and I would just go to the dance floor.
Yeah.
Every time. There's something weird about sitting at that table.
Well, that's why lounges are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lounges
are
the best because you get... Dance if you want. You can talk if you want.
One of my favorite parties in New York.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of them. Freedom parties.
Hmm.
They kind of changed. It kind of broke up now. It used to be three DJs used to put this on.
I think we went to a Freedom party in Brooklyn when we had to do, it's in Brooklyn, it's a rooftop party. They're mainly like black promoted.
I think I remember.
You, Reggie, we seen a nigga from, from NWA movie.
Yeah, we did. I remember. Yeah, that was right in Williamsburg. That was nice.
Those were good parties because everyone came to dance.
Well, no VIP section. It was a roof.
No VIP section.
Just a bunch of people on a roof like, what, do you want to dance? Bitch, I can't dance.
Yeah. Girl, this light-skinned, I'll never forget. It was a light-skinned girl. She had a white one-piece top on with the jeans, freckles with the braids. She was bad.
Damn, she like, I remember that. Still in your memory?
Freckles with the braids. She had the freckles. She was like, she looked at me, but her girlfriend pulled her. It was great. But Brooklyn.
Yeah.
All that shit. The party. It was a real party. Yeah. We was like, damn. Everybody left with somebody. I think I kissed somebody in the mouth that night. Like it was something. Yeah, it was nice.
When I first went, they were in Manhattan. I forget the name of this place in Lower East Side, Star Lounge or something like that.
I never.
And then they kept moving every so often. They were at La Poisson Rouge.
I've been there before.
They were there.
That's a little. I was in VIP, but that shit goes.
Where's that?
Like it's like three floors down. And it's wild.
Not far from the cellar.
It's across the street from Village Lantern.
Oh, we've been there before.
Yeah, that spot.
Okay, spot is dope. Yeah.
Everyday People parties.
I've heard of Everyday
I've been
People.
Everyday They've People been parties that too. That's I think me, Reggie, and Chloe went.
Y'all probably do those.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, y'all went to those whiskey all day joints. And I never went because I'm not a drinker. So I was like, there's still things.
Yeah.
Like real parties, vibes, anything that Spike Lee throws outside, that's always a vibe.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Like the the joint near Cobble Hill or whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know, near the Band Prince Museum.
Party.
Yeah.
The Prince or the Michael Jackson party, one of those.
Yeah, no, there's an African joint that's pretty dope.
He had one this year, right?
Yeah.
Chappelle was there.
Yeah.
Is the African one by like Bam or I think Clinton Hill.
What about you talking about the Brooklyn Museum joint?
Yeah.
It's like every last
Saturday. Chloe, we talked about that.
Every last Saturday or first Saturday or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
I never went. All of my friends went.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
Grits and Biscuits.
Yeah, Grits and Biscuits.
Track Karaoke is another one.
Grits and Biscuits. My brother and his fiance just went to Grits and Biscuits in L.A.
Yeah. And I heard that thing was... Shout out to Alzo Slade. We got to still get him on the show.
Easy Mo Breezy.
Easy Mo Breezy. Yeah. That whole gang. Yeah. They're some of the coolest people I know.
Oh, he's part of that?
Yeah. That's his.
Okay. My people's in Houston. No. I think they know him.
Alzo is the guy. He's one that MCs it.
Okay.
His brother DJs, he MCs, and Alzo
got
comedy.
A fucking Emmy.
Okay,
now.
Shout out to Corey Terry.
Oh, for the Vice thing.
Yeah,
oh, good one.
Emmy winner.
Yeah, Corey Terry, my boy Corey Terry in Houston, photographer, videographer.
Okay,
he's cool with those cats. Grits, Grits and Biscuits. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember I brought Alzo up at an open mic at a Laughing Buddha open mic.
Yeah.
He slayed that shit. I was like, you ain't no fucking open micer. Yeah. He went up there and slayed them. I was like, you did this to be a shark in a fish tank. Yeah. I'm on to you, Nicky.
I used to say that. I was like, get out of this shit. Stop playing in that field.
Yeah, so now he went in there and bodied that shit. So I'm like, you not no goddamn open mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you guys thinking about making a move to L.A.?
I know. What I do is, what I found out, what I can do, is the bi-coastal thing really works.
Yeah.
I have proven to myself and to a lot of actor-ass niggas out here that you don't have to move to L.A. Every time I've gone back, I got a bag and left and came back to New York.
Yeah.
So how you keep, just got to fly back and forth. I sleep on a lot of couches, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I don't have like my living situation out there the greatest, but I do couch surf.
Yeah.
But I still get shit done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. I would go out. I go out there to work, but that's it.
I won't catch a bag and come home.
I like it, man.
Yeah. You like LA?
I miss a little bit of the energy of New York, but I like LA.
Yeah. So I like LA because you just go there. I understand it. On my end, I go, you go out there to work and sell shit. You don't go out there to
What'd
really,
you call it? Summer camp?
Yeah, summer camp.
I wouldn't live there forever.
At summer camp. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the show I'm on films there.
Yeah.
It's films every week.
Okay.
Yeah, but, so you need to be out there.
It's a breath of fresh air, man.
Yeah. Only when you making money.
Only when you're making money.
You're not making money in LA and spread ass LA. You got to walk everywhere.
You're going to be back there. Yeah.
You're going to be out there.
Yeah. You're right.
Ain't no subways between blah, 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 blah. So, nah, like if you making money in LA, you feel like God out there. You're like, your little apartment is covered. You got some little white girl getting up out your bed every morning. She a model too. And another hybrid come. Some bad black dude with curly hair talking about, oh, you should go to this chicken waffle place, not this one. Let's go to Compton. No, I'm not going to Compton to get chicken waffle. I don't need that. I will say L.A., every time I've went, I've been in love triangles with so many women because it's just, so you like that. The weed is great. But when you're not working.
You're right.
When you just sitting in the desert going, what's my friends doing back in New York? Like,
You're right. I mean,
when you just sit in the desert not getting nothing, I don't know about that, bro. And I did that.
Yeah.
My last pilot season out there, I stayed out there 90 days. I didn't get a meeting till day 90.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was out there waiting for Tony Sepulveda and all them to call me at NBC. I got that call the 90th day I was out there.
Damn.
So from 1 to 89, I'm out there getting nothing, spending money on everything. Everybody in New York, come on, man, you out there, opportunity. Y'all niggas don't know.
They don't know. They don't know. Yeah. I mean, I was blessed enough. This was my first pilot season. And I booked Young and the Restless my last week.
Yeah, dope.
I got to clap. If you knew what that took out in that goofy-ass world.
Yeah.
Everybody asked Monroe.
Everybody.
They got a resume in the back seat.
Yep.
Bruh.
I know.
Bruh.
When people find out. Every Uber driver, whatever they pick you up, they're like, oh, so what were you doing? I had a meeting. Oh, can I look you up on Instagram? Would you mind listening to this? And I'm just like,
respect, man. I always wanted LA to bring me out there. And so far, man.
Yeah. Well, they gave you the call, so go. Yeah, so
Man, I booked it last week of February and started the first week of March. Dope. Most of my stuff is still here.
Damn. See that?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a place out here.
And out in L.A., sometimes it'd be like that. No, I'm still out here. That one phone call to change your life and all that shit, yeah, that happens out in that city.
Yeah. I mean, it's a combination of, I'll say it lightly, stars, the moon, the sun, everything aligns, you know. Who knows, man? Right place, right time.
Yeah.
Someone willing to take a chance on you, knowing the right people.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Or the right people knowing you.
Yeah.
You know? Slowly getting a name, getting a buzz.
Yeah.
All this stuff, man.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. And that still doesn't guarantee anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Interesting, man.
Yeah, man. I've always seen LA like this. This is a weird thing. I'm not even high yet thinking about this so comparison. Funny. But this is my analogy of LA. It's like they give you, when you go to LA, they give you the initial box of Legos. Mm-hmm. And they go, let's see if what you build with this, or are you going to use these to kill yourself?
Yeah.
Are you going to step on these Legos and hurt yourself and move or go away, or are you going to build something out of this?
Yeah.
So the next time you come back, you can keep building on that. Like, it's a wild shit. And I'm thankful for Will and Grace, because that was the only thing that kept me in the running.
Yeah.
I was always on that Emmy show. So every time I came back to L.A., I was like, I'm still cool with Universal.
Yeah.
So I still got something in my pocket. So, when you're going out there blind, especially when you're not a comic that kills from the city you from.
Yeah.
When you're not a local hero yet. Oh, yeah. Nigga.
When
you
people don't know your name.
That's the stampede.
That's when it's hard. When people, like, when nobody can check and be like, is this nigga legit? And that's hard. That's when the hustle. And I would say I don't like to use the word lucky, but I think that's what works in our benefit.
Yeah.
Is that we're legit in New York City.
Legit.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And you got a name here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a name here. And hopefully it just translates over to LA. So, you know.
Cuz when you're legit here, what happens is the legit people there, when they come here, they're like, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cuz they're trying to get stage time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're right.
They're like, what's up?
Yeah, that's the only way I've been able to move at the Comedy Store the way I move. Because everybody from there came to New York, saw me.
How you like the Comedy Store?
I like the Belly Room. That's my favorite spot in that whole joint.
Yeah.
The OR and the main room. Yeah, whatever.
I went to the main room as a guest and I sat way in the back. I was like,
Yeah, the vibe is off because everybody too cool for school.
Okay.
But that Belly Room is so gutter.
I'm going to check it
and
out.
And it's everybody tight in there.
Yeah.
That's why Chappelle filmed that one special in there.
The Belly Room. Yeah,
because the Belly is where it go down at. That's where all the barbarians are.
I like the Laugh Factory, man.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. My favorite is the Hollywood Improv, but
I like the Hollywood Improv.
I like the Hollywood Improv. Yeah. It's nice. Last time I went there, I saw Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
That joint, yeah.
They all stop in. I've been bumped so many times for the stars out there.
Oh, work?
Like, damn, if my spot was like at 10:30, I don't get on to 1:45, because everybody say, like, if a roast is happening that week, the roast of whoever, all the comics gonna come in and work on their roast material. They don't care if you next.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Bump Town City in LA. Yeah. I've learned that.
Okay.
No. It's way less than New York, unless Chappelle or somebody stop by.
Chappelle or Chris.
Yeah.
In
New York, yeah.
Nah, nigga, it depends on what club you go to. There's clubs that'll bump you for people with like 100,000 followers.
You know that.
Here in New York, they will.
Absolutely. New York is, you know that. You know that.
Yeah. The Stand be fucking with me.
I wasn't going to say no names, but I like the Stand.
I was about to say,
still do it.
Yeah.
What they going to do? Oh, they going to smack me in my head. Like, no. Yeah. They've bumped me for motherfuckers that are internet sensations. Go up and do a hot shit six. Hot shit six. You'd be like, and then I got to go up and then dig. I got to dig the crowd out of that shit because everybody knows this person for doing something. Because
you can't practice now. And I'm like, well, I wanted to legit practice.
Nah, I can't practice.
But I can't because you let this person who just talks into their phone all day.
It's crazy, man. We're in the infancy stages of this internet sensation stuff. Yeah. So everyone's trying to figure it out. They were trying to use a lot of these internet sensations to sell products.
Yeah.
And I think from what I hear, I didn't do the research myself. Someone's telling me a lot of these people who call themselves, what do you call themselves?
Influencers.
Influencers.
Yeah.
Don't really have much influence. They're starting to find out.
Absolutely.
Trying to sell products.
Because people don't give a fuck about what you're selling. They're looking at what you're doing. They're like, oh, wait, the guy who fucking makes macaroni and cheese sounds in his fucking Blue Yeti is now trying to sell me like some sneakers? No, keep doing that ASMR shit, nigga.
It's crazy, man. We're in an interesting time.
We're in a great time.
Great time.
We're in a great time. You just got to stick through it. You got to keep your head level. You got to stay surrounded by good people because, like, if you're good at something, you're gonna, like, you just gotta stay focused and keep working on that.
The question is, how do you understand if you're really good at something? Because there's a lot of people who think they're good at something.
Yeah, but the audience will tell you if you're good at something.
Oh, comedy-wise, yeah. It's comedy-wise, acting-wise, yeah. You ain't got no audience when you're just trying to audition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you got a little bit of audience, but they're not going to tell you anything.
I think it's the shit you do for yourself, taking privates.
Yeah.
The actors, you obviously don't know the motherfuckers who's taking coaching and taking privates.
Oh, yeah.
Because from their first project to their second project, and they tightened up on the vocab and the pros and how to do it and all that shit. They can kiss women in the mouth now without getting all weird. Acting coaches.
That's so funny.
Shout out to Trish LaFosh. I still love my Trisha LaFosh out in L.A. She's the one that got me pretty much cleared in a... She was the one that basically helped me get all that Will and Grace shit. So
Trish LaFosh?
Trisha LaFosh.
Yeah, Trisha LaFosh.
Yeah, she works at...
Is she French?
I don't know, but that's a crazy last name. LaFosh. Yeah. That's
LaFosh.
Her last name. Trisha LaFosh. LaFosh. And she's pretty much pushed me through to get the stuff that I always wanted.
I use my buddy James Villamere.
Yeah. He's out of New York. Everybody in New York say go to James.
Out of New York, yeah. He's a wizard of understanding storyline, the character, the arc. Yeah. He's a wizard in seeing that.
Yeah.
And he does cold read scene study.
Yeah.
And I was amazed as soon as I left.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see all these comics in class. Because I remember years ago, y'all be like, I'm going to check it out.
He'd be there.
As soon as I left.
I was there because Reggie was there.
Yeah.
And it's more of a competition. Like, when you told me about it, I just wanted to focus on stand-up. But because stand-up was getting me the meetings and stand-up was getting me all the things that I wanted.
Yeah.
But when you get to the audition,
you got to book it.
You stink.
Yeah,
I would say I would have some people that'll be like, I'm gonna work with this guy because I like his personality.
Yeah.
But then some people go, wait. So when I seen Reggie start going to classes, it's a friendly competition. Yeah. I'm never gonna let my friends be better than me.
I'm kind of like that
That's how good friendship like that too.
Yeah.
I can't let you be better than me.
Yeah, we got to be at least on.
We got to be equal.
Yes.
You know, so I seen Reggie go, and I went, yo, I'm going. And I show up, and I seen the immediate difference within, like, four classes.
Hell yeah.
I started, like, the casting director started being like, what happened? Are you taking classes? Like, they're like, yo, like, I'm getting pinned for shit.
Yeah.
I would call him and be like, yo, so I'm about to be up for this role, and this, that, and the third. And it just clicked, you know?
I remember, like, getting scenes, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, you just...
It's a different type of. I had some comedy joints. I'm like, I don't understand this comedy.
Yeah,
it's a whole nother culture.
Yeah,
and I hit him up, and he was like, "Oh, it goes like bam, 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 bam." I was like, "What is wrong with me, man?"
He helps you get out of the thing that I like about him the most. He's like, when he'll see something, he goes, oh, this is you already. And I'm like, how? Because it says this. He'll be like, nah, you've been in this situation. Yeah. You've been in that situation.
Yeah.
Keeps fucking it
really,
do it.
Yeah. Keeps it really simple. Yeah. Really simple. Just have a conversation.
And he's distracting. Like, he'll, like, oh, as you're fucking doing your lines, he's like,
his pen?
Fucking slapping you in your arm and shit. And then I get it. He's like, what are you wearing? Stop watching me. The camera's going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of people watching you doing the same
shit.
And
that's a good call.
Yeah.
They just won't be making noises.
Yeah.
But they'll be there.
They'll be distracting you. They'll be there.
Fucking distracting you.
Yeah. I learned. They'll distract you with how they read back to you.
Yeah.
You be thinking you about to, and then they'll go,
I'd be like, so Alan Turning and Ben like, Turning Test.
Why you changed the way you read? Now it's fucking on my energy. Like, they'll do that. I've been in situations where, so good for y'all, the actors.
Nigga, you an actor too. Stop taking yourself out of the situation. You got more credits than
only,
all of us.
It's all comedy, nigga. I've never had to express any kind of range. It's always been in jokes. So
you,
like,
got,
right.
You got kidnapped.
I
don't think
kidding.
I did. Yeah, that's range.
What's kidding?
I got. He was in
Training Day.
Training Day.
He went, TV show. The TV show.
The one at Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
He died.
Yeah. He died, fourth episode in.
Yeah, I had to get my balls shocked. That was weird. Some dude put fucking tasers in my nuts, and I had to fake.
He act like he was in love. You had to kiss some girl in the mouth.
I kissed some white woman in the mouth, and I kissed her so good she won an award for it. It was so funny.
Oh, is that what you posted?
That New York TV festival shit,
Yeah, okay, okay.
You played a lovable drug addict in Tracy's show because you're in a halfway house because you fucking were a criminal. You probably did drugs. That's range. Your character isn't
that's
the
you,
same
man.
Character.
All right, man.
That's you. Yeah. That role couldn't have been written for anyone else.
Oh, that was Jay Bird. Oh, yeah. And now that I'm off the fucking show. I was so mad. Because he wrote the halfway house out.
I was just watching. I was like, man, they're going to keep the halfway house in here for a while.
Nah, because Sed went and got a show.
Yeah,
Sed got a show. So they was TV like, all right. Man. So now they like, all right, so now Sed out of the joint. So now we're going to focus on Tiffany, Tracy, and them kids. We even taking the white guy out and Alan Maldonado. Shout out to my boy Alan Maldonado.
They took him out?
Yeah. Cousin Bobby. They took Bobby out.
Bobby was funny.
They should have at least brought y'all someone to that food truck. I don't know.
And then the food truck got it. Watch the rest.
Okay, damn.
Watch the rest. Spoiler. You'll see how it happens. Okay. But nah, man, he left the halfway house. So they left the halfway house. There's no room for us unless they bring us up as different characters all together. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
They're taking a little bit of that comedy away.
Keenan Ivory Wayne's got an idea. He watched the writer's room, and now he got his own writers. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Is Mark still in there, right?
Mark Theobald's still there.
Yeah. Okay. Dang.
So yeah, we'll see. I'm looking forward to see what it is. I'm not no malice toward nobody because keep the show on. Shit.
Yeah.
I can always say I was on it.
Yeah. It's a good show, man. It's a good show. You got a lot of good looks on there, man.
Mm-hmm. I did. I felt good. Yeah. This season 2 is doing good. They playing it at my coffee shop around my way.
Okay.
So my face is always up at the coffee shop while I'm drinking coffee. All the hipsters don't really give a fuck because they're in their phones, but it's still up.
When you go to black areas, right?
Black areas. Oh, they fuck them like, for you know who really like me? Puerto Ricans. Puerto Ricans are like, yo, you the ball from the thing and shit. And don't bring up Broke Ass Game Show, nigga. Broke Ass Game Show 2015. That's the dude from the. Yeah. I'm trying to make some money, and that happened 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm like, all right, cool. But Puerto Ricans back with me.
Did he tell you when I walked up on him on Broke Ass Game Show?
No.
Remember, you were doing something, and he saw me, but he was trying to focus on doing whatever you were doing. He kind of went like this to me, but he was like focused on doing something. I was just standing there watching. I was like, let me try to break this.
Did you break him?
Nah. Yeah. He didn't even look up. He kind of saw me out his peripheral and just went like this.
What's up?
Something like that.
Yeah, I was doing something. Because that show was strictly gag.
Yeah.
That was like commit to the bit. Mm-hmm. That was like my first big introduction to improv was Broke Ass Game Show because we had to come up with shit on the fly just to deal with the people. So to be unscripted, I feel like that was the greatest improv class I ever had.
Damn.
Because we had to improv in the summer and we had to improv in the winter.
Damn.
Two different seasons. We did, when we shot on the beach, straight sun, 100 degrees, but we still had to be funny. Yeah. Then dead of winter right before Thanksgiving that year when it was just frost on the grass. We had to do all kinds of bits with water in the cold. So I'm like, all right, this is it. This is full commitment. We on MTV One. I was in there trying to do. I was like, I'm gonna make something off the show. Then they took it. I was like, fuck.
y'all doing it though, man.
So it's just all this has been training for something that's coming. I don't know what's coming, but
that's all it is.
That's all
it is. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, steps, man.
Yes, right, ladies and gentlemen. We're here. We're doing our show here at No Need for Apologies on Lizzo's ass. This is this table looks like resembles Lizzo's ass.
But when this come out, it'll be old.
Damn it. Yeah, man. I can't even talk about Lizzo pulling her ass out. I mean, it was funny.
At the Lakers game?
Yeah. Lizzo, can you pull up Lizzo's wonderful ass? Wonderful flat pancake ass? Yeah.
It's fame.
It is fame.
It's all it is,
it
man.
Is absolutely.
I literally, like, because you know me. All I do is watch people and analyze, and I know behaviors. And I'm like, oh, she's just being famous.
She's just being famous.
Because, you know what I mean? Like, I've watched, like,
get people
everybody
talking about
needs
you.
Attention.
Get people talking about
you. Yeah, you don't have to be good for long in entertainment. You just have to be good at something and keep the attention.
Yeah, for as long how long you can hold it. Some people have been blessed to be Tom Hanks. And fucking Leo.
But that's why
and
I miss
Bassett.
Artists like Kendrick. Like Kendrick Lamar to me is probably one of my favorite artists because he lets his music speak and then he fucking disappears.
Disappears.
And that's always how I want to be.
That's how I want to
let my shit
be.
Speak and just get and go away.
We don't know where Kendrick at.
Yeah. I want my acting to speak for me, man.
That's it.
That's right, boy.
Yeah. What happened to that shit? Yeah. Everybody needs attention.
Yeah. Social media.
Yeah. Just be good at something, put it out and keep
and
it
roll
going.
Out. Daniel Day-Lewis, look at that. Another ass. Another Lizzo ass. She liked being naked.
Yeah.
That's a nice, beautiful, fat, naked lady.
Yeah.
And she's good. Good for her. She got three good chins. Her. Good for her.
She do a lot of thinking.
But what I will credit, she a big girl, but she agile. I see how she be dancing, carrying on, so whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of ass
talk. Because I thought it was like a normalization thing. Like, I'm going to keep showing it until we're used to it. And then I'm like, that can't be it.
Oh, no. That's what. Oh. That's funny. Lizzo look like Zoidberg? She got Zoidberg roles. That's funny. Shout out to my producer, Brian, for putting up Zoidberg next to Lizzo with all the roles. That's gross. The
Amoroso rolls.
She got them rolls. Amoroso rolls. Them Italian rolls, right? Mm-hmm. Let's get it. Okay.
Yeah.
She got the bread rolls. Put a little butter on it.
I fuck with her music, but I don't. I got her album. I thought the shit was pretty smooth. I'm like, man, this is a good album. But all the other antics, I'm like, I don't care.
I've been slipping on music, man. I've been doing a lot of podcasts.
You ain't missing shit.
You it's listen to nice podcasts? A lot of podcasts?
I do everything. I'll clean the house. I'll do the gym. I'll do Uber, everywhere I go, I got a podcast on something.
Who you listening to? Us?
Listen to y'all.
Yeah.
I listen to Rogan's one of my favorites.
Rogan's like he's the number one guy.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of. Well, he introduced me to
podcasts.
Like, not podcasts, but he introduced me to a lot of people that I follow now.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't watch every one of his. Yeah. You know, because some people like he'll bring some rocker on. I'm like, I don't know who that is. I don't care. But like he'll bring somebody like a Rhonda Patrick on, health and nutrition, lady, Jordan Peterson on intellectual.
I know Jordan. Jordan Peterson. They
are you into that? You're into health. You're still a vegan and stuff.
Nah,
you gave up. What made you
just
give
eat
up?
Chicken and fish?
I didn't
now?
Necessarily give up. I just learned more about meat and I learned the myths.
Okay, what's the myth? Say that right. Myth. Yeah, say that right here.
Give me one or two myths.
Give me one or two myths because I'm back on chicken.
That meat is bad for you. That red meat is bad for you. That's just completely false.
Mm.
And I'm not going to sit here and give you the spiel of why it's false.
It's got to be grass fed. They got to be eating good things. See, grass-fed. The cow has to be eating good consumption in order for you to consume what the fuck they was eating because it's all down to that.
Grass fed.
But how do you get that within this country at Whole this Foods? Point? Yeah, you say Whole Foods, but. Just because it's organic doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. It's just organic meaning it's grown on a private facility. We don't know what the fuck they're feeding that animal.
Yeah.
So people fall for those tricks. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like anyone who's given up red meat because of that bull propaganda about, you know, red meat's bad for you, red meat causes cancer. No, look into a little bit further.
Yeah.
Find people like someone like a Rhonda Patrick, Dr. Yeah. Rhonda Patrick. I can't remember all these names right now in my head.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do a carnivore diet, but meat and a lot of veggies.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing.
That's it. Yeah.
Meat and a lot of veggies because you get your carbs, you get protein, you get fiber.
Yeah.
You know? But red meat in particular, like if you can get good, healthy red meat, man, it carries a lot of essential nutrients that we need.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not saying there's certain people who can be vegan and be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people can be vegetarian and be healthy.
Yeah.
Some people can't be a vegan.
Yeah.
Just I've tried. I hit a salad, but I need some kind
of. I can't do full vegan because. That I can't cook.
You're 6'7", nigga.
Yeah, but then most of the recipes and the places I go to is nasty, and I'm like, I can't do this shit for the rest of my life.
But shout out to the Bodega Veggie Burger. Not that bad.
I've had some great veggie burgers, man.
Yeah. Bodega Veggie Burgers are ridiculous. They're really good for some reason.
Yeah, I was addicted to the Impossible Burger. Then I'm like, nah, this shit probably just as bad.
It's bad. Let me refrain.
Come on, boy. Go ahead, Denzel. Tell us what.
I've heard it contains a lot of interesting oils.
Yeah.
In it.
Okay.
That aren't necessarily good for you.
A lot of glycerides.
It's a science thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a
lot of glycerin. It's just like. Don't try your best not to be a follower when the new biggest vegan thing comes out.
Yeah.
It could be typically always a catch.
But then most of the vegans I know, no shade to any, are fat. I only know fat vegans.
They eat it for the bread, not the broccoli.
Yeah.
I know healthy vegans. I know healthy vegans. I promise you.
See, I only know fat vegans that be like, you need to get off that meat. It's like, I'm going to stay.
You know what? I
hung out with one fat vegan. She was a cool girl, though.
I wish I grew up with eating organs.
What?
Like
eating organs?
Heart,
Yeah, the liver. Other, the chitlins, the giblets.
Not the chitlins.
The
not giblets. The
not the giblets. Not the dookie.
I like
that's
gizzards. Not, I used to eat the chicken giblets and shit.
Well,
I saw them cleaning chitlins once. It was gross. But anyway, go ahead.
You got to boil the shit out of it.
The liver, the heart, they contain a lot of nutrients.
Yeah.
A ton of nutrients as opposed to just the muscle meat.
Yeah.
You know? So fried liver hearts. So you can have that, like fried liver, that's, or not fried, probably pan-seared.
Probably if you pan-seared, yeah.
Pan-seared livers. Yeah. I like that.
Frying anything will destroy it.
Destroy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fried. Yeah. It's
as soon as you fry, you're like, nigga, like, so this is what these vegans do. They'd be like, yeah, I got some buffalo cauliflower. I'm like, yeah, but you fried it. So now you're just eating fried cauliflower.
Fried cauliflower.
That whole gnawed of grease and shit in it.
Can we do the test to see how much nutrient value that still has?
What, cauliflower?
No, the fried cauliflower. Like, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, does it still contain a lot of nutrients?
There's a stain at the bottom of the plate. There's a stain. It's supposed to be veggies, and there's a pizza stain. It's supposed to be... Oh, you got a route. You got to roll like soon, right?
Yeah,
all right. So, matter of fact, let's all just.
God damn it! It's been an hour though.
It's been an hour, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just do one topic because you know our active friend, Sean, is very 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 intellectual guy.
Yeah.
Let me just see if there's anything. How about this Eminem Nick Cannon beef?
Wait, they back at it again?
Yeah, they dropped the second song. It's called "Pray for Him."
First of all, nobody wants to hear Eminem anymore, and no one gives a fuck about
Nick.
I heard a verse when he called himself Tupac.
Who called himself
Nick
Tupac?
Nick Cannon did.
I was like,
who gave you that permission?
Watch the invitation.
Can you play a little bit of it, or is it copyright infringement or some shit?
We totally get pulled.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Damn.
Thank you, bro.
Can we hum it? Can we?
I don't even know the melody. All I know is Nick Cannon got all his rapper. This is what Nick's plan was.
What?
Wildin' Out was not comedy. Yeah. He did comedy until all the battle rappers came, gassed his fucking head up because he was giving them a check, and now he got a team of motherfuckers to go up against Eminem. This was a plot from Mariah, nigga. This was a plot from when he married Mariah.
You think he's still in love with Mariah?
Yes! It's a crazy chick.
Yeah.
Every nigga loves a crazy chick because she has the golden bus.
You think
Nick put two kids? Nick got two kids out that deal. He's still feeling that shit.
Yeah. So what did Eminem say? Give me one of Eminem's hardest
lines.
Eminem didn't
say shit yet.
Oh, he didn't drop anything. I thought you said he dropped two.
No, Nick Cannon dropped two.
I don't think you need to.
Just sitting back on these fools.
Yeah. But Eminem still don't. Eminem don't got the battle spirit anymore. Like
he did. Because
I listened to the Machine Gun Kelly diss. Machine Gun Kelly's. This was a better song.
Yeah.
Than
Let's Talk About
It.
Yeah. Bum bum bum.
Yeah. That was like I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, I got it. I like it.
Your beard is weird. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Your beard is weird.
You just kept your beard is weird. Okay.
Your beard is weird. But yeah, man. So Sean, what you got coming up? Anything cool other than Young and Restless?
Right now,
because that's cool.
Just because it's
cool.
That's
cool.
I can't do too much because I film every week. So
you're a working solid actor. You catch them, ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies over 40, daytime television, Young and the Restless.
Get yourself some Sean. He's
the new Nate. He's the Nate we going with. He's the Neo of all the fucking Neos. This the Nate we wanted from Jump. Fuck Shamar Moore. I'm just joking. Shamar Moore was great, but now Sean Dominic.
Sean motherfucking Dominic. MonroeMartinComedy.com. MonroeMartinIII on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And keep listening to the podcast. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get better. And I'll be posting some dates. I'll be posting some shit on social media. So just keep following me. Follow the journey.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to keep watching this show on CBS called Evil. The show's name's Evil, but it's about a paranormal team that investigate all kinds of ghosts and shit.
And Derek plays the devil, right?
But Derek doesn't play the devil. Derek plays a stand-up comic on the opening of one of these episodes coming up in January.
Oh, word.
It's going to be great. I'm actually doing a spot on the show.
Yes.
So I'm doing stand-up in the TV show on CBS. That's fly. And look out for the Helpsters. Since the dude from Sesame Street died, I guess I big him up. Rest in peace to the guy who created Sesame
Carol
Street.
Carol Spinning or whatever.
Carol, whatever his name. Yeah. He did Big Bird and The Grouch. But the Sesame Street people have something called The Helpsters on Apple TV Plus right now. Yeah. My episode's coming out next year as well. So look out for Isaac Ice.
The guy who loves ice, and I'll be talking and singing and dancing with puppets. So that's fun.
Good shit.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another splendiferous episode. Hit 'em, run, Ruff.
Of No Need for Apologies.